Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title with the festival.
Bo Canlis, the executive director of DC Shores International Film Festival, happening September 8th to 18th, but we have, it's still a hybrid, so we got 4 days of live screenings at the Alamo Draft House in Northeast DC. So we are inviting you guys to be there because we are kicking it off with a homegrown showcase, as well as just a general welcome back. It's a throwback to being back, Jason. So we're so excited.
Awesome. So yeah, so it's Thursday the 8th through Sunday the 11th is the main in-person thing, and then there's going to be an online thing for like what, another week after that.
Yes. So from the 12th to 18th will be the virtual part, the online festival. So all 94 films will be available online, but 77 of those films will be screened at the Alamo Draft House Cinema.
Yep. Okay, great. I want to go into the lineup and the opening night and all that stuff in a second, but before we even get to that, some more, let's bigger picture stuff. What year are we in now? And I know you might be you're a new voice to a lot of our listeners. You know, we had John Gamm, we had Joe Belangio. We've talked to different festival directors over the year. I guess introduce yourself. Where you sort of fit in the big picture here?
Well, yes, this is my first crack at it, and I do have some grandiose ambitions for the DC Shores International Film Festival brand. So I'm so excited to introduce myself to your audience. So WTOP, I mean, historic, and you know, just for the area, the DC area. I grew up here, actually. I think the reason why they brought me on is I do have extensive experience just executing different types of festivals, including the different Asian festival that you've seen in the area recently. Most recently was the Asian festival on Main over in Fairfax, where there's about 18,000 people that showed up in attendance. So it was
you
around
can
that
bring
time
the crowd,
actually, that
baby.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was around that time that they offered me the position, and I'm just so blessed to be a part of this because I did have my start, I guess, in filmmaking through short films. So I myself have directed a few short films. I do have ambitions one day to do a feature film, but you know, that's why I think DC Shorts is great, because it does champion short filmmaking. They do say keep it short, keep it real. And it's about the whole reel to reel for me too, just covering all aspects. But and you can see with the lineup that we have this year, there's 29 different countries and 6 continents that are being showcased in terms of filmmakers. This is a first because this is the first year for DC Shorts that there have been more films directed by women than any other previous year, with a total of 51 female film directors. So
50. So 51 out of the 94 are women directors.
That's correct. So, and this definitely highlights the mission of DC Shores to champion the art of filmmaking and inclusivity. And we do have a panel discussion, which actually it's happening. So we have 4 also workshops that are happening. I want to let your audience know that those are free. You just have to register, right? So we have immersive storytelling, entertainment law, the art of makeup, and embracing your crazy ideas, which I can definitely relate to because, you know, there are so many great ideas out there. And, you know, like we're having a discussion right now, a conversation, but I think what is great about DC Shores International Film Festival is that we definitely encourage those people to go out there and just execute, you know, those ideas, you know, just pick up. I mean, of course there are, you know, guidelines and submission rules and all that, but really it's just about, you know, just getting something out there and getting it done. So I'm super excited just to, you know, lead the way for the foreseeable future.
Well, welcome on board. It's really cool. We're glad to have you. And you said you grew up around, where exactly did you grow up around here?
So I grew up in Arlington. So, you know, the red brick building that you see right across the Potomac, you know, River Place, you know, the right there in Roslyn. So,
yeah.
So local I did spend a lot of time out in the Philippines prior to coming back and, you know, taking on this role. So I was doing you know, radio and television work out there. And like I said, I was doing the film directing thing, and you know, I'm just, once again, just the path brought me back home, and you know, to be in this role, and to take on this responsibility, I don't take it lightly. You know, it's something that I'm very passionate about, and yeah, I just hope that with this being the in person, you know, the return to in person, that we can you know, make remix things a little bit, but you know, kind of bring back the traditions and the things that made DC Shorts so great since 2003. You know, and when the world did shut down, you know, I'm sure, you know, just like, you know, a lot of your listeners and everybody, you know, it's just one of those things that we're trying to get back to some sense of normalcy, right? And you know, like this would be really cool just to kind of have people back in this particular setting too, because the Alamo Draft House, you know, it's a franchise, but the one in Northeast actually has a Smithsonian and Spy Museum theme. So that's you know, I think it's gonna work well with just having people kind of go back in and experience the whole festival, especially the loyal following that we do have. I'm excited to just have everybody kind of, you know, see this iteration.
Yeah, speak to the location a little bit more too, because I know in past years it's DC Shorts has been synonymous with you know, the E Street Cinema downtown. Yeah. But talk about why the Alamo in Northeast, how it's a cool way to mix it up here. It's what's the address? It's Rhode Island Avenue, right?
Yes, and it's right there on Bryant Street. So you know, I've been working with Cassandra and Michael over there, the GM. When I met with them and kind of toured the spot, you know, we did a visit. I just felt, especially since I'm brand new, I figured let's go ahead and, you know, do a little venue switch, you know, as I said, a remix. So right. I'm just trying to put you know, just a little bit of my own input. And once again, while keeping with the traditions, I do want to see if there's a way we can kind of get to a new place and space, literally and figuratively. And you know, just you know, we are I do want to crawl before I walk, and eventually hopefully we take off running. But I think it's gonna work out well based on when you walk right in to the space, you know, it's got a really cool, like, old school, like, and that's why I do say it's a throwback to being back. So maybe that's part of the decision in going there, because you have all this great movie nostalgia, like the posters and just the from the artwork in the hallways all the way to. So it's just a nice blend of the old with the new. So that's kind of, as you can see, I guess we're sensing a theme here, right? Just wanted to, yeah, just take the good parts or the great parts, right? And then, you know, try to make them greater.
Awesome. Well, without further ado, let's go into the lineup a little bit. So I know it kicks off on Thursday, September 8th. Mm-hmm. And like you sort of mentioned, this is the big welcome back in person kind of a deal. So
yeah, it opens with something called media.
Homegrown, right?
Yeah, it's the Homegrown Showcase, but I am inviting the media. So please, Jason, if you could be there as well in person, we'd love to have you.
And because I'm homegrown too.
Yeah, where are you from? Where are you from, Jason? Where'd you grow up?
Up here in Frederick, Maryland, but you know,
you know what? Yeah, the Frederick is such a cool town, man. We did a festival out there. Shout outs to Fiesta Asia. There was a nice gathering that was right there. Oh my goodness,
what was it at the Weinberg or New Spire Arts, or was it outside?
It was outside. But a nice, cool little park. The name escapes me right now, but Frederick is such a cool town.
Baker Park, Carroll Creek, something like that.
Carroll Creek. There it is. Thank you. There you go. That true local. You know,
yeah, so. But I like your I'm digging where you moved the festival, because I went to undergrad at College Park. So did most of my self-guided film history learning at PG the Hyattsville Library there. Rented so many movies. So that's right down Route 1, right near, I think that heads right into where you are, right? Alamo is right over the line in DC, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. So that's awesome, man. See, there you go. So Terrapin, shout out to you. you know.
and then AU Film School, and that's how I met John Gann and all that stuff. So
okay, yeah. Hey, there yeah. you go. The history is strong, then, man. That's so
yep.
cool.
Yep, I feel you, man. I know the short filmmaking. I know that whole racket. It is just as hard as a feature in certain ways, and harder in other ways.
Exactly, and you know that's the thing, right? Just to, I guess, educate the audience, right? Because, you know, people do ask, you know, what distinguishes or what separates a, you know, short film from, say, a feature film. Feature films, of course, 90 minutes and above. Short films, and for our particular festival, like, it has to be 30 seconds to about 40 minutes, right? So if it's within that span, you qualify for a DC Shorts International Film Festival entry submission. But yeah, like, you know, the shorter the better a lot of the times, but like you said, it makes it challenging, right, to get that whole story arc completed, because the DC Shorts brand definitely focuses on the storytelling, the narrative part, right? Because short films, there's narrative short films, the documentary shorts, and the avant-garde shorts. And I think the avant-garde is where I kind of fit in, because I've been, my films have been avant-garde. And, you know, I think that's going back to your original question as to why the venue switch and why doing all this.
Right.
You know, really trying to, you know, bring in a different approach, right? Just a different way of thinking and
experimental vibe.
Experimental vibes, my man.
All right. Well, I totally sidetracked us talking about both of our local stuff, but
no, man, that's not a sidetrack. That's part of, like you said, man, we're introducing you're introducing me to your audience, and I'm definitely hoping that this is the start of a long lasting online and in-person relationship, right? Just trying to get
the beginning of a beautiful friendship, Casablanca style. Man, yeah, all right.
There we go.
All right. Cool. Well, so on Thursday, September 8th, it's the Homegrown Showcase. Talk about why we're kicking it off, and maybe some of the, you know, the local filmmakers or even name drop some of the local schools or something that they're from. You know what I mean? Like, tout the homegrown angle.
Well, that it's great. See, that's why it wasn't sidetracked, because that's another thing I'm hoping to bring back, is that educational component. So I do hope that we get more involvement from the University of Maryland, but we've had, you know, we do have some professors that are involved. From, let's say, the jurors that we've had that will be that screen the films and judge the films. And then for this homegrown showcase, the community partnerships that we had, like the Bertelsmann, Sam George is actually going to be doing a world premiere of his film, Keep Talking. And, you know, there's actually, just going all the way, and I might be fast forwarding here, but, you know, even to the panel discussion, which we talked about for like identity, representation, and the inclusivity aspect, local filmmaker Sara focused on a DC muralist, Michelle Love. I'm not sure if, you know, your audience is familiar, but like some of those beautiful murals that you see on the sides of buildings as you drive through DC, there's a whole story that highlights her and the journey, I guess, just from her background, being local, and the, you know, just the background of being Indonesian. And, you know, once again, I just feel like what's great about, at least what brought my attention to DC Shorts in the first place is just that part, the hope to really tell all these different types of stories from different types of people. So with all these voices here, just because the films that are being showcased through the homegrown, once you get there, and that's why I'm doing a very brief welcome, just welcome remarks, so that we can get right into it. And like I said, I'm hoping that it's a great turnout for the media and press, because as we kick it off, there's just going to be just a plethora of things happening throughout the weekend. And it's only 4 days, because, you know, back in the day, right, it was 10 full days of screenings, workshops, panel discussions, and parties, right? Like, what have you actually experienced? I want, since you do know all pretty much the OGs, like, what do you remember Because this is an opportunity for me to actually hear it firsthand from the outside.
I remember it as a grad film student at American University and having a couple films in there and going, you know.
So you submitted too?
Yeah, my buddy and I had a little comedy in there. And then my thesis film was like a political allegory set in a crab restaurant in Maryland.
appropriate. Okay, on different levels.
I'm sure you can look them up, and it was called Liberty Road. If you ever want to look up in your archives.
Oh yeah, I definitely want to check out Liberty Road. Okay,
I'd say every it's not flashy, but every frame is dripping with mise-en-scène symbolism, my friend. Hey,
that's it. Right. That's it.
But in terms of like the experience, yeah, I mean, John Gamm was great, and they like serve crab cakes after the screening, etc. But for me, it seemed like more of like a, you know, downtown DC vibe with like rooftop parties, and then there was like a big awards brunch at Clyde's, and it was. But I kind of dig where you're taking it. Let's mix it up. Why not? It's time.
Hey, I appreciate that cosign, Jason. Really, I do. Thank you. And as we continue this friendship, right? Like, you're gonna see there's a lot that, well, see, my focus has been on just, you know, because they brought me in, you know, pretty late in the game, right? If you figure what is May that I was officially brought in as executive director, and then, you know, all the work that goes into festivals in general, but film festivals are entirely, I feel, a different beast, right? There's just you know, from just the outreach to the filmmakers, you know, to the hospitality for them and the volunteers, and man, we have a wonderful team. So I'll take this moment actually to shout out, you know, Peter, who is a former executive director for DC Shorts, Redora, our volunteer coordinator, and the board. We have a pretty awesome board, and all of their backgrounds and their involvement also in the community. So as I talked about these strategic community partnerships, man, it's been quite the experience, you know, just learning, you know, obviously just kind of being thrown into the mix. But that's why, going back to your cosign, I've been blessed with the opportunity to kind of remix it and, you know, like you said, switch it up a little bit. But I do respect my predecessors, so that's why I've you know, had discussions with the team and those that are even this discussion we're having right now. I'm sure this is going to, you know, affect, you know, future decisions too, is in terms of even outreach, right, to people that have been a part of it, whether they've submitted or, you know, just on the outside, you know, looking in. Maybe we can actually get you guys more involved too with the, as I said, the educational component.
Yeah, for sure. And yes, like we said before, this is we're ping ponging back around a lot more than back and forth more than we normally would, because, you know, we're just getting to know each other. But
yeah, I love it. I'm having a great time here, Jason.
Of course. So in the spirit of I know you and I could probably just talk. We could chop up film all day. But in terms of me getting some sound bites I can actually use for you know, radio snippets.
Yeah, so what is it that
some of the showcases. So we tackled the homegrown. And I know we don't have time to go in depth into like all every movie and every
right.
one of them.
Well, we'll start off with, so some sound bites, right? Let's
yeah, tell me what the showcases are. Yeah.
Yeah, so we have the homegrown showcase, the gambler showcase. Well, we said avant-garde before, but a different approach, you know.
Gotcha.
Just kind of, yeah, just taking a chance, I think, on this particular, especially with the way that they created the lineup, like this particular year, you know, things that are a little bit more like straightforward, like the animation domination showcase, obviously, that's, you know, just focus on the animated parts, but the family ties showcase and, the humor showcase, which you probably would love because of the comedy aspect, and then 9 to 5 showcase, and a different perspective showcase. So as you can see, they the programming department, shout outs to Joe and Jasmine for their hard work in putting all this together, because once again, it was a truncated timeline, but I think you guys are going to definitely love the 77 in person screenings that are about to be shown. So in terms of that, I wish we actually had Joe and Jasmine here to talk about like the whys of why they came up with the titles. But I definitely even like the titles of our parties, right? Like
Tell me about some of the parties. Where are they?
Yeah, so the parties that are happening, and I told you about the whole spy museum theme. There is the Highbinder, which is actually attached to the Alamo Draft House Cinema. So the name that Peter came up with was the Fourth Wall Breakout Celebration Party, which I love because once again, just as you walk into the Alamo, you are kind of transported to a different place, a different time. And then as you go in, right, you're going to walk down the hallway, make that left to Theater 1, Theater 2. That's all dedicated to DC shorts. And then as soon as you guys are done with the screenings, we can celebrate right out there at the Highbinder. And they have a nice outdoor patio as well. So we're going to have a DJ, some live performances, but we're going to be able to mingle and talk to the filmmakers that are going to be in town. And once again, just focusing on just the creators that are going to be in the building. And super excited about just the whole spy museum theme, because if you get your tickets now, you can actually maybe be privy to some code words that'll get you some goodies.
Awesome. and I know, so it all builds to, I guess, like the awards brunch. Tell us where that's going to be. It's a cool spot right near the Capital One Arena.
Yeah, it's going to be a Bar Deco. So it's going to be that's why I'm going to encourage people to get their tickets right now, because it's very limited space. But the jurors that we've had, it's been a very actually prestigious collection of professors from different schools. I wish we had University of Maryland, but, you know, next time, next year. Right. So
is there anybody from American in there?
There was some Georgetown and American professors that recommended. So okay. we do have some representation on the jury, but
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm definitely, once again, just going back to my hopes and ambitions. I'm hoping to actually rally the college community, right? Get more submissions from students, but also the professors that have been involved are actually getting their students out there to check out our screenings, the live in-person screening. So I'm really excited about that
aspect. So tell us who makes up. So yeah, you're saying that there are some, you know, student submissions and you're hoping to get more, but like, so if you know, if our layman listeners, you know, regular folks just listening to TOP that really aren't film people, explain to them who exactly are these filmmakers. Are they professional working full-time filmmakers, or a lot of them have, you know, is this like a side hustle, or, you know, what do you think?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do think that, the ones that have made it to the screenings, right, that actually made the cut, like from what I've seen of the stats, they're very actually established filmmakers. So I am hoping, and this is, once again, this is part of the overall picture, that we can inspire those who are, let's say, maybe they don't even yet realize that they have this hidden talent, right? Because I do want to, you know, encourage those that have even just thought about it to, especially now that with technology being what it is, I mean, they're just, you know, of course you do have to, I don't want to like just open it up and have it be like a free for all, or it's just, you know, people putting in low quality work. Cause obviously we definitely, as I said earlier, there is criteria that you need to, you know, certain standards you have to meet in order to be considered. But like, I do want to, especially the students, right, that are out there, which is why I'm hoping actually that we can encourage even younger than college students, maybe the high school programs can, cause I know that exists now. Like, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, you know, being a filmmaker or having ambitions to be that, it was just kind of like you consider it a hobby, is something that you do as an afterthought.
Oh yeah, we did it all. Yeah, you do it all the time with your friends, but it was with, you know, like a camera, a camcorder that you'd, you know, you'd have to slide like a tape in, and it would, remember, it would go, and you'd have to put the VHS thing in, the little adapter for the VCR.
Oh man, yeah. The adapters, my goodness. Yeah,
To your point now, kids nowadays can shoot an amazing thing on their freaking phone and edit it on their laptop on, you know, a Final Cut or Premiere or iMovie even, you know?
Exactly. See that? And that's the thing. And I feel like it can be quality, right? Yeah. Even though if it's a little rough around the edges, I mean, I do feel like we can find those diamonds in the rough, you know, and really just I want to make DC Shores International Film Festival the preeminent option, the platform that caters to that type of submission. And I mean, we are the largest short film festival on the East Coast already, but imagine if we can actually tap into those aspiring filmmakers that, as you said, they can grab their cell phones, and there are amazing things that you can do now. I mean, with, you know, just, you know, not to drop any brand names out there, but, you know, there's just so many different things that you can, you know, shoot. And then the, you know, the post-production, you know, applications that are available. My goodness. I mean, I know there's just so much that can be done. So, yes, going back to it, like it is they are pretty much established and highly esteemed filmmakers. But I am hoping that we can, as we've kind of it's been a thematic thing for our podcast today, is just remix it a little bit and exactly. Some new offerings out there. Yeah.
Exactly. So I know, and you've been really generous with the time, so I won't keep it much longer, but I know you probably can't, I know you don't want to highlight or show favor or preference to one film right. or another, but therein lie the rub, because for my purposes, it'd be great to have, you know, our listeners hear, you know, about a couple movies, you know what I mean? Like, so are there any particular ones that you could talk about? And it doesn't have to be, you know, you're signing off as like, these are the best ones or anything, but just, well, any, you know, it's random ones.
That as I was, cause you know, when I was brought on, they gave me access to Film Freeway and started, you know, watching some of these films, and some of the ones that I really thought were award worthy didn't even make it, you know? So it's interesting. Cause you know, the dynamic, right, with me being the executive director and then having a program director and then, well, the whole programming team, and then, you know, that being kicked up to the jurors, it's interesting to see what gets selected. And I'm not sure if you can relate to that as a filmmaker. Have you ever been a part of jury selection and all of that, Jason?
No, I've been on the submitting side, and I've been on the, you know, the media covering it side, but I've never been on the actual jury.
So there you go. Here's maybe a cool tidbit for the WTOP audience. Like, me also being from that, right, that part of the industry, just the filmmaker side, and you know, as you can probably attest to, just, you know, from being someone that submitted their work, like it's just amazing to see the process and how it unfolds and all the things that kind of happen behind the scenes, which I previously wasn't privy to. But like, you know, going back to your question, I mean, like some of the filmmakers or the films that I thought, I was like, wow, this is astonishing. Like that, you know, this right here, like, seems like it's already like top notch work, but then it doesn't even make the cut. So that kind of just shows you, like, you know, the quality that the programming department has put together, which is, well, like you said, like the different things that I've seen, and I've already, you know, from my opinion, right, the things that I've seen, like, It is interesting to see how it's pieced together and why, you know, once again, like they're still tabulating the or at least the awards, right, that are going to be presented at the brunch. I think it's going to be just one of those things like, wow, OK, yeah, it makes sense. But at the same time, you're like, man, like that's why I kind of want to give shots to those that have maybe yet to, you know, get that chance, get that shot. And I think DC Shorts International Film Festival can be that moving forward. And I'm sure it already has been, because, you know, some of our work, or the, at least from what I've read in the rich history, right, there's been some short films that have gone on to win Academy Awards. So I'm thinking that for the listener that's out there that's maybe thinking about it, I'm hoping that you'll consider, if you've ever thought about just, hey, you know what? I have this idea and I think I can write a little story that'll fit within 30 seconds to 40 minutes. I hope that you guys consider DC Shorts International Film Festival. Yeah, I'm just so excited about actually, you know, taking the reins and moving it to another level, hopefully in the very near future, because there are some things that are in the works right now that even as we focus on the execution of the 2022 iteration, I'm just so excited about what is to come next.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you joining us. And it's cool. I think I like when I always like when there's new leadership. And it sounds like Peter and them are still involved, right? But you're the new creative force charging ahead here.
That's right. Yeah. Peter is like involved on the marketing side with all that. So, you know, it's interesting to, once again, they have had, you know, once again, they've been here for years. And then here I am, you know, I do have festival experience. And then, of course, a background in film, but not necessarily, sure. They're not, you know, mutually exclusive, right? It's just like, here I am coming with all these different ideas, and the approach has been, it's been that, man. So I'm excited, bro. But I'm also like, you know, there are certain things, which is why I'm trying to keep it really general, because I don't want to show like favoritism or like even when it comes to the folks that are involved, you know, because there's, you know, there's differing opinions, and like, you know, people may not be as open to that remix as we've talked about, but yeah, you know, I'm gonna push through and you know full steam ahead, man.
Yeah. I feel like that's been the theme. I might have to put remix in the headline or opening paragraph or something, because that seems like that's been our theme of the,
you know what, that's gonna work. And that, maybe that's another thing too you can talk about, because even just from the old DC Shorts music, you know, since my brother actually is a musician, so he helped with the production of a new it's not official, right? But we've been putting in all the marketing, and cool. You know, it is a little bit more, and you can tell from, like, you know, that's why like the album was perfect, because it has that, you know, just that vintage look. Mm-hmm. But then we are like with the whole like code words and just like the different things with the spy museum theme, like we are kind of making it so that people have a definitive different experience. There's that demarcation point, you know.
I love it.
Remix is perfect.
That's the perfect place to leave it. Cool. Well,
hey man, I appreciate it.
Thanks
bro.
So much. I want to say bye before it kicks us off.
No doubt. Hey man, thank you, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, nice meeting you. See ya.
All right, see ya.